Genesis chapter number 6. All right, I'd like to speak to you on this theme this afternoon. And it's not an original theme in the sense of we just read it in our Bible. Is this on now? Okay. And that's the theme of Noah walked with God. Really, it's a kind of a thought that comes off of our church theme, and that is trust and obey. Trust and obey. And we're going to learn today, maybe for the first time for some of you, maybe a reminder for some of us, how this man trusted and obeyed God in an amazing way. And I would say it in a way that I don't even understand, simply because of what he had to work with and thinking about what we have to work with. All right, let's pray, and then we'll jump into this. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in church, and thank you that we have the Bible that will be our help and our teacher today and will guide us. Father, I thank you for these that have assembled here today. And I pray, Lord, that you would take these next few moments that we have, and as we walk through these verses, that we would understand what you have for us in this hour. Father, we see within this story everything that is needed. We see how to be saved. We see how to live the Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, when you hear the name Noah, when I hear the name Noah, and I'm not going to say everybody in the room today, because I even met somebody yesterday, and I'm not saying this to be unkind, funny, or cute, but I was giving an illustration about death, and I talked about Kobe Bryant, and the guy looked at me like, who is Kobe Bryant? So I'm not going to assume, and if you don't know who that is, that's not a problem either, but I'm not going to assume that when I say the name Noah, everybody thinks of a big boat. But a lot of people do. A lot of people think of a big boat. A lot of people think of maybe other things as well. It's kind of one of those stories in the Bible that possibly if you've been in church any length of time, you remember hearing about it as a child. But I've found this to be the case that not only here, but in many other cases, that we have a lot of people in this room right now that did not have the Bible story base that many of you might have had. This would be one of those stories in the Bible. Now, when I think of the word story, let me explain. A story is not fiction when it comes to the Bible. You can go to the bookstore and you can go into the fiction area, and there's probably some really good books there, and you can read them, and that's simply all they are, is fiction, somebody's imagination. But what we're going to read about today is not fiction. It happened. I call it a story, but simply that's just the terminology that I have used over my life is the word story, but it's an event. Maybe that's a better way of saying it, an event from the Bible that maybe some of you have never looked at in the Bible. Maybe you've seen a cartoon about it, or maybe you've seen a picture about it, and you could even go down in the baby nursery today and you can see something about Noah there. So we have this man, Noah. He's mentioned in thinking about the ark, maybe, Noah and the ark. Well, Noah's name, just to give you an idea, because everybody's name is important. Your name is important. My name is important. And Noah's name means rest. It means rest. And I think about what it must have been like for him on that ark and all of that, and we'll come to that in just a moment. So I have several things from the text here that I'd like to give you today by way of an outline, and I'm going to do my best to get through these. And hopefully, with God's help, it'd be a help to you. Number one, I'd like to point out in our text the ways of man. The ways of man. Look in verse 5, if you will, with me. The Bible talks about the ways of man. And God saw that the wickedness of man was what? Great. Okay, we know what the word great means. The word great does not mean small, right? The word great means magnified. It means it's huge. It means it's great. It's big, right? So the evil, the wickedness of man was great on the earth. And that every imagination, now the word every there is a key word, isn't it? It describes the imagination or the thoughts of man. And the Bible is very clear. It says here that not just a few, but every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only what? Evil. Follow with me. Follow with me. It helps you to stay awake. Only evil. I mean, what a place.
What a sad place. What an unusual time. Wickedness was rampant. Evil was rampant. Thought life was rampant. I mean, everything that was going on, there was so much wickedness. Not much has changed. In fact, not much ever changes. We live in a world today that is filled with the same wickedness. We live in a world today that is filled with the same evil. And I thought it just an amazing statement there at the end of verse number 6. Do you see that? Isn't that an amazing statement? That it was so bad that it grieved God's heart. That the wickedness of man was so bad that it grieved the very heart of God. Here we see the ways of man, and some descriptive words are listed. I read a few of those to you just a moment ago. The word wickedness, in verse 5, the words evil continually. Drop down to verse number 11. And the Bible says that the earth also was corrupt. There's another key word that described the ways of man. They were corrupt. They were violent. It's listed there in verse number 11. It was filled with violence. And the words and the descriptive words go on and on. Look at verse number 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with, what's the word? Violence. Violence, corrupt, evil, wickedness. Filled with violence, only evil continually. What a time. This is the time that Noah was living in. This is the time that Noah was having a family. We don't know what his wife's name is, Mrs. Noah. And we know that they had three sons at this time. This is a time when they were rearing their... Can you imagine? They were living in a time when they were rearing three boys in a society that had their thought life was in the gutter. By the way, if you're not... I think you're all following me, but this very much describes 2020. Very little difference can be found from Genesis chapter 6 to February 2nd, 2020. That for the most part, I'm not going to say everybody, but for the most part, this lost world that we live in is against the Bible, is against the things of God, is against modesty, purity, holiness, is wanting to do anything and everything possible to get to the top. That means if I can cheat to do it, I'll do it. Folks, that's corrupt. If I can, by the way, don't allow the enemy. You're getting ready to do your taxes, Christians. Let's not do anything that would be inappropriate, all right? Let's do it by the book. Be honest. This is a description right here of the time in which Noah was living. And I just can't imagine, in a sense, in a little bit, that here's brother Noah and sister Noah, Mrs. Noah, and they're bringing up three sons in a corrupt, vile society. All Noah could do was just give up, right? Give in. Just let him go to the world. No, the Bible says Noah walked with God. He can't beat him, join him. That's the saddest thing we could ever come up with. But you know what? Take a look at a lot of churches today. Take a look at a lot of what happens on the platform in the name of Christ. And it doesn't look a whole lot different than a nightclub in some places. Oh, there's different words. But everything looks exactly the same except the words. I don't think that's what Jesus had in mind with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All I'm saying is the ways of man in this time, it was disaster. And it grieved the heart of God. I can't get over that. This is the time which Noah lived. This is the time which Noah was going to work. This is the time that Noah was preaching. We're going to look at that in a moment. This is where Noah was living. And in a sense, this is where we're living today too. Then we see number two. All right, quickly. I found this to be interesting in reading a little bit about this time. Dr. Henry Morris, and you can, I'm not here to say Dr. Henry Morris is the expert on everything, but I found this to be interesting, that Dr. Henry Morris calculated what he believed to be an overly conservative estimate that at this time there was approximately 1 billion people alive. When I first read that, I thought, how in the world could that be? But then he begins to describe in his theory and coming up with different things that he took into consideration how long people were living. And then he would take into consideration how long ladies would bear children. And then, obviously, you can kind of do the math, all right, that it's going to add up a lot faster than it adds up in 2020. I don't know if there were 1 billion. I don't know if there were 500 million, but I know this. The Bible here very clearly doesn't mince words that it was a very rough situation, evil, wicked, corrupt, but yet Noah walked with God. Interesting. Number two, and that's what we're talking about next. Number one, we said the ways of man. Number two, the walk of Noah. The walk of Noah. Look at verse number 8, please. Possibly you've read this verse many times, but maybe it's the first time you've ever looked at it, and I'm thankful that you're looking at it with me this afternoon. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Here it is. Noah walked with God. And Noah walked with God. And many of us here today, we know the end of the story. We're not going to the end of the story yet, but I believe that is such a key statement there. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because Noah walked with God. In the midst of a society that was running from God, in the midst of a society that was corrupt and vile and wicked and evil and everything else, Noah lived in such a way he was able to grow in grace. Noah was able to grow in fellowship with God. Think about it. I mean, literally, when we go out into this world, every day of our life, we go out into this world, it's surrounded by the God of this world. You know who the God of this world is? The God of this world is Satan. Now, he's only allowed to maneuver and move as God would allow him to, but he is the God of this world. And when we go out into this world, we are surrounded by those that are on the team of the God of this world. And many times, if we're not careful, we can begin to be discouraged that there's no way we can live the Christian life in this world. There's no way that we can walk the walk and talk the talk. And yes, I will say, there's no way you can do it in your own strength. And there's no way I can do it in my own strength. And I can't rely on what I've learned in the past. I've got to rely on the arm. I've got to lean on the arm of my everlasting Father, God Himself. I've got to lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct my path. I see that Noah here sets a great example for us men and us ladies and us young people here today and teenagers. It matters not the age that you are today. Here we see a great testimony. Notice the word just. The word just means this, lawful and righteous. Lawful and righteous. I wonder today in your life, or could you be known as someone who is aiming to do right? Or do you find that it's easier to do wrong? I'll be honest with you, in the flesh, it's always easier to do wrong. That's what the flesh wants to do. Oh, but as we walk with God, as we walk with God, and temptation comes, and temptation comes, and temptation comes, then we can be equipped by the Holy Spirit of God to say no to that temptation, and to be right with the Word of God, and to be lawful, and to be righteous. To be righteous simply means do right. I believe Noah was a man, not perfect, but a man the Bible describes as someone who strove to do right. Even though his situation was not an easy one to do right. It's always easier to go with the current, isn't it? It's always easier to go with the flow. It's always easier to just allow the stream to take us down the river or the creek or whatever. It's always easier to just go with the flow. And yet we see that Noah was the exact opposite of what the Bible described as the world was. Noah was just. Noah was perfect. It doesn't mean he never made a mistake, by the way. The word perfect there means complete, whole, or sound. It means he had, another definition of it would mean he had integrity. He was a man of integrity. We'll look at that a little bit later on. I want you to go with me in your Bibles a few chapters over to the I call it the contrast of Noah. Genesis chapter number 19. My prayer today is that we would leave here when the meeting is over with a desire to trust and obey God like Noah. All that I read about Noah, I don't see that it was an easy time, nor today is it an easy time. But I'm just saying that so much about Noah's life, I believe we can see within our own time that we're living. And everyone, I think, in every generation could say that to an extent, though. It is my prayer that we would have a desire to follow the example. And yes, you can read other things in Noah's life that God puts in the Bible later on, and he failed. Because what you say, okay, so then the Bible's the Bible's recording things. There's a lot of failures in the Bible. How many of you have ever failed? Every hand would be up. I didn't ask you to raise your hand, but I'm just giving you a thought. So we can relate. We can relate. People in the Bible, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, you can find something literally about everyone, I'm sure. The point is this. We want to learn from the good decisions, the honest ones, the righteous ones, and we want to learn from the ones not so honest and not so righteous. And here's an example. In Genesis chapter number 19, verse number 12. And the men said unto, what's the next name there? What is it? Lot. You see it? And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, don't miss this, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. It's just an amazing statement that we read next. I know they weren't his blood kin, but they'd married his daughters. And they lived in the same city. I would hope that means that they spent some time together. Probably. Is that a bad assumption? I don't think so. But it seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. You know what? I don't know this because it's not in the Bible, but I wonder. You know what I wonder? Here's what I wonder, Brother Marks. I wonder if this was the first time Lot ever talked to these boys about the Lord. I wonder if this is the first time Lot has mentioned the Lord to these boys. Maybe not. Just something I thought about when I was reading it. I know this for sure. Based on the fact that they mocked him, I know this for sure. I know this, that his walk, Lot's walk, the way he conducted himself, did not speak to what he just said to those two boys, men, his son-in-laws. In other words, his walk did not match. Hey, you better get out of here because God is going to destroy this city. Whatever. Who's that? I don't know. I'm going to find out someday. I almost wonder. But definitely the way that Lot lived his life, no way did those men believe him. In other words, his walk did not match the warning that he just gave them. And you know what? If you read this story, and that's not the message today, let's go back to Genesis chapter number 6. I just wanted to show you an example of the complete opposite of what Noah did. And if you read the rest of that story sometime in your own Bible reading, you're going to read in the next few verses that it was even so bad that the day of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, when it came, that those two angels that were there sent by God, literally, Brother Marks, hang on, literally, you know what I'm going to do, they literally had to pull Lot out of the city because he didn't want to leave. I want to stay right here. He didn't want to leave. God's great. Think about the mercy of God. Think about the mercy of God as God gives Lot every opportunity and Lot goes and he leaves and then there's a mess that ensues after that. And we all, if you've studied your Bible at all, you know about that. Again, I don't want to get off on that. But the point is, as far as we know, those two son-in-laws didn't leave. And today, they're in hell. Partly because their own free will, because God gives all of us a free will, but I would say partly because of their father-in-law's walk. He definitely didn't help them any. We go back to Noah, the walk of Noah. He found grace. Noah's not perfect in a sense of not sinning. But Noah was a man of integrity. That's what that word perfect means. He was a just man. He was lawful. Then we see something happens because of this. Well, number three, we see that there is some work for Noah. Some work for Noah. We won't read these verses, all of them, but if you want to look at them while I'm speaking here for just a moment, you look at verses 14 to 21. 14 to 21, and many of you know what that work is. The Bible says in verse number 14 that God tells Noah to make an ark. Now again, you've heard this before. This is not new. Some, though, it's brand new. Nobody knew what an ark was. Nobody knew what a boat was. Nobody knew what rain was. Nobody knew what a flood was. But God says, build a boat to Noah. Talk about trust and obey. Build a boat. Look at what it says here. Not build a bear, build a boat. Look what it says there. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Verse 16. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. As far as we know here in reading this, it had one window and it had one door. Now think about this. It was not raining when Noah began to build the ark. Again, it had never rained before. God had watered the earth from the fountains from below. We read that those would even open up in this great flood. So why do I need a boat, you might ask. That's what, if I was there, I would wonder, why do I even need a boat? We don't see that, though, from Noah. I just want to look at this boat for just a moment, though, and then we'll jump into the next thought. Look at verse 14, if you will, and I want you to notice the word pitch. The word pitch. Okay? It comes from the Hebrew word kopher, which is K-O-P-H-E-R. There's some great analogies here. It's what they would put to seal it up, for to keep it from leaking. Now quickly, I want you to turn over to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17. You know, the book that you're turning through right now, you may not understand all of it. And I would be one like that. I don't understand all of it. I'm still learning. But it is amazing. It's an amazing puzzle that if you let the Holy Spirit of God in your life, the Holy Spirit of God, if you let Him, He'll put it together for you. Look at this verse. Leviticus 17. Don't go to Luke. It's probably a good one too. Leviticus 17, look at verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's a great thought right there too. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an what? Atonement. For your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an what? Atonement for the soul. We sang about it earlier in the singing time, right? About the blood of the Lamb. Something with the blood. I can't remember what was. What was the song? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yeah, what can make me whole again? Nothing. So, the atonement. The Hebrew word for that word atonement comes from the very same word as that word. It's spelled slightly different. The same line of word. It's kaphar, K-A-P-H-A-R. Comes from the same line as that word pitch back in chapter 6 and verse 14 of Genesis. So it wasn't just simply that God was using certain terms and certain words just for the sake of saving 8 people who are going to be saved, but setting up a picture for us in 2020 that we can look back at the ark and we can see a beautiful picture of God saving us as well. This is the Bible. There's more to the Bible than just, and I'm not even going to quote a verse that everybody may know because I'm not making fun. There's so much in here. That's where Bible study has to come in. If you're a Christian, you should be studying this word. So, number one, we see the ways of man, the walk of Noah, the work for Noah. Number four, look at verse 22. Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. Hopefully we're putting this together with the Lord's help. We see number four, the willingness of Noah. The willingness of Noah. I love verse 22. Thus did Noah. All the instructions are laid out. 14 to 21. How to build it. So many cubits and all this and that and the other thing. I'm just saying that's not part of my message today. All of it's there. And then it just says, and thus did Noah. Noah obeyed God. Okay, I don't really know what's going on here, but I'm going to do it. Look what it says there in verse 22. According to, what's the next word? All. That's a key word. You realize if Noah would have left anything out of the plans of this ark, it would have messed the whole thing up. Can you imagine if Noah would have said, you know what? You know what? Matthew, you know what? I think we should have 2 doors in the ark. What do you think, Matthew? 2 doors? No. It's good. A good answer. But you know, think about it. 1 door? That doesn't seem like enough doors. That would have messed the whole picture up. Would have messed the whole thing up. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. You know what? I love to do the things of God that I like to do. I love to do the things I like to do. But then there's a lot of things in there I just don't like to do. You know what? It doesn't matter. I need to do all of what God tells me to do. 1 door, Noah. 1 window. And you're going to bring in all these critters. It's going to be something. The willingness of Noah. Look as well in chapter number 7, verse 5. And Noah did according unto all. Those are some words I would circle if you don't mind circling words in your Bible. Those words, all. He did all that the Lord commanded him. Obedience. Noah had no idea, and I said this earlier, he had no idea what rain was or even looked like. Noah had never built an ark, much less even seen one. Noah did not have access to Google, friends. What does an ark look like? You know what he had to do? He had to follow the blueprint that God gave him. I'll be very frank with you. I have no idea how to be a husband. I have no idea how to be a godly husband. If you're married, ladies, you have no idea how to be a godly wife. Well, there's a lot of people that have written books that could help us a little bit. Nothing wrong with those, especially the ones I'm talking about are ones that are based on biblical principles. And there's, of course, the secular world that can tell us how to be a good husband and be a good wife, but I have no idea how to be a godly father. No idea. You know what? I have no idea how to be an under-shepherd. I don't know how to do that. One that honors God. No, I have no idea. I have no idea, Brother Reese. I have no idea how to be a brother to you in Christ. I have no idea. I have no idea how to live the life that God has given me. No clue. Zero. Apart from this book right here. In here is everything that God has commanded me to do. In here has everything. As it said about Noah, he did according unto all that God, all the Lord commanded him. Do you see it there? You know what? Noah did not have Genesis chapter 7. Noah did not have John 3:16. You know what Noah had? Thus saith the Lord. And you know what it says in here? We even have something better than that. We have the Bible. It's a more sure word of prophecy. It's better than thus saith the Lord. It's the Word of God from Genesis 1 all the way to Revelation 22. And in this book right here are the commandments and the instructions and the ways that we are to live our life. And oh, my friend, might we pray for a willingness as God's children. A willingness to trust and obey. A willingness to be the sister God wants us to be in Christ. The brother God wants us to be in Christ. A willingness to be obedient to our parents. That little song that we're singing for the theme song, it's for adults as much as it is. But I'll tell you what, it's for these kids. And I'm still a kid. I need it. It's the very best way to show that we believe. How did Noah's boys not mock him when he said, "Get on the boat"? I submit to you that while they did not see a perfect father, they saw someone that was willing to follow God's blueprint. Boat has to be this big, this tall, this, there's the window right here, here's the door right here. Remember, they maybe made it, I don't know if they were there when Noah was getting all the dimensions written down, but I'm sure that somehow Noah got them down and he said, "Hey boys, this is how we're going to do it right here." They knew the instructions were from God. So again, that second door would have messed the whole thing up. Noah followed the commandments of the Lord. Turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2 as we consider Noah's willingness. 2 Peter chapter 2. You might think, well, we only talk about Noah in the first book of the Bible. No, he's in other books too. Bible says here in 2 Peter chapter 2, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person," what's these next three words? "Preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Noah's obedience was the result of his faith. The more we have faith in God, the easier it is for us to obey God. You trust God. Do I trust? Look, when you trust somebody, you do what they say, right? Because you know they won't tell you to do something that would be harmful or against helping you. So when we really trust God, we will do what He says. Because it's always for our good and His glory. A preacher of righteousness, what does this mean? This means that Noah was a messenger. Now, friends, everyone here is saved. You ought to be a preacher of righteousness. Your life ought to be preaching righteousness. If you were the only witness that your children have, would they know Christ? Think of it. If you were the only witness that your family had, would they know Christ? The preacher of righteousness isn't always audible. Sometimes it is in the way that I carry myself, and the way you carry yourself. Oh, and how, and again, I don't mean to go back to it, but this morning I shared with the men in the meeting. And by the way, this meeting, it says men's prayer meeting. It's for young men too. Our meeting on Sunday morning is for all the teenagers. If you are a father and you have a teenager in your house, try your very best to come to that meeting at 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Try your very best. But I said, and it's for every man too, but I'm just saying specifically that. But I ever since yesterday, and we knocked on the door yesterday afternoon, my wife and I, yesterday morning, we knocked on the door, and somebody came to the door, and they had two little girls there, 5 years old and 2 years old. I didn't really think much about it then, but later I was taking a walk in our neighborhood, I needed to get out and take a walk. I like to take walks. And while I was taking a walk, God put those two little girls on my heart. I can't remember their names. I remember their parents' names. But I don't want to say because I'm praying they come. And pray for that family if you would. And I got to thinking, you know what? That five-year-old and two-year-old, how are they ever going to hear about Jesus? Follow me. How are they ever going to hear about Jesus? Now, God is sovereign. He's put the desire for Him in their heart already. He's put it in every man. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying. I began to think, when I was 5 years old, I had heard so many Bible stories already. And I give God the glory for that. When all of our kids were 5 and 2 years of age, they had been in church every time the doors were open. And I'm not saying we're perfect parents. I'm just saying to God be the glory for that. And God brought those two little girls into my heart when I was taking my walk yesterday. And I began to think, what about the kids that are here every Sunday? What about the kids that are here every Sunday? How are they going to know about God? How are they going to know about salvation? How are they going to know how to live their life? And I'm just saying that, yes, that's part of the responsibility of the church, but I begin to think that's the responsibility of those whom they call daddy and mommy. And I began to think about it. If you took every influence away from your children and it was only you, sir, and you, ma'am, would your kids mock you if you said, Jesus Christ is the Savior? Or would they get on the boat like Noah's kids? It's a sobering thought. It's a sobering thought. I'll be very honest with you. My heart was broken as I walked around my neighborhood yesterday. Have I taught my kids what's important, or have I not? Noah was a preacher of righteousness. The willingness of Noah. I'm sorry, but I pray that God would take that, and I don't want to be, I'm not trying to lift up me or anybody, but my heart is concerned about the kids. Us old people too. But number five, we see a warning from God. A warning from God. Look at verse 3. As we go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. In other words, this is the countdown. This is the countdown to judgment. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made him. Verse 13. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Think about it. Some would say, you know, God, you know, just destroyed him, but God in his mercy said, I'm going to give him 120 more years. I'm going to give him 120 more years. In 1 Peter 3:20, we won't turn there, but we see the term long-suffering. We see the long-sufferingness of God. Our Bible tells us that only 8 people got on the ark. If this is the first time you're reading about Noah and the ark, I would continue in the flood. I would ask you to read through these chapters this week, and all of us for that matter. We know from Scripture that only 8 people got on the ark. Noah, his wife, their 3 sons, and their 3 wives. Only 8 people. I began to think, once again, these thoughts, these questions. What kept hundreds of thousands of people from getting on that boat? Let's say there were 500,000 people, or 500,000,000, 500 million. I have no idea. But there was a lot more than 8. What kept hundreds of thousands of people from following the preaching of Noah? From what we can read here, there was 120 years of this construction project going on. Can you imagine that, Brother Jose? 120 years to work on one building? Can you imagine living to be 120? And we know he lived way longer than that, but the point is, God gave time. What kept them from not getting on that boat? I believe it's one word. One word is this: unbelief. Unbelief. It's not going to rain. Noah. Come on now. I read some other places, commentaries. Again, that's all it is. It's simply a commentary. But I read some other places where some people believe that Noah even hired heathen people to help build the boat. Trying to figure out how only 4 guys could build a boat in 120 years. They didn't have the construction blessings that you have, Brother Jose, and those that work with you. So a lot of people say, one particular man that I read thinks that that was the case. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm just saying. Only 8 people said, okay, and it was only his family. In other words, there was a message given by Noah, and the people said, no thanks. I don't believe you. I don't believe judgment is coming. I don't believe you. Turn with me as we bring our message to an end to John 10. I can only imagine what it would have been like for Noah. I don't know what it was like. I can only imagine, and that's all you can do too. Look at John 10, 25. Jesus answered them. What's the next 3 words? John 10, 25. Jesus answered them, I told you. I remember hearing those words as a child after doing something that I was warned not to do, and I did it anyway, and something happened to me, Randall, and my dad, I don't think my mom would ever have done that to me, but my dad definitely would. I told you, and he would even, boom, so that's just my dad. I told you so. What did you expect? Jesus says, I told you, and ye believe not. In case you forgot, that's the Son of God telling them, and they believe not. Not Noah. Good job, Noah. Praise God for Noah. But this is the Son of God. I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye, next two words, believe not. It's the same problem in Genesis chapter 6. Unbelief. And by the way, God will not force you to believe. And Noah could not force anybody to get on the ark. Let's keep reading. Chapter 12, verse 35. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light. Believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. Thus these things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet believe not on him. Unbelief kept millions from getting on the ark. Unbelief kept thousands from believing in Jesus Christ when he walked the face of the earth. Genesis 7:16, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. What is the significance of God shutting the door? Something that I came across provides a wonderful demonstration of the twin truths of man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. Man's responsibility and God's sovereignty. After God shut the door, the time of judgment arrived. Only those who had gone through the doorway would be saved. No one else could enter. Noah and his family had to obey God's command to build and then enter the ark for salvation. But it was God who had commanded the ark to be built as the means of Noah's family being saved in this time of judgment. Jesus said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You're not going to get saved today any other way than the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this afternoon with no assurance that when you die, that you will be in heaven, what will keep you there is simply unbelief. You either believe God's word and accept his gift of salvation, or you reject it, and you will never be saved if you reject God's word. That's why when God shut the door, that's it. No one else could get on the boat. The judgment of God came. One day the judgment of God is coming. He's given plenty of time. His mercy continues to allow people to get saved to this day. Think of it. Think of it. If you've been saved in the last 5 years, think of it, if it would have all ended 6 years ago. I mean, kind of a weird way to think about it, but still. You're alive today, you're breathing, and you're lost. It can change in a moment from unbelief to belief.